And now we are joined by our regular plastics correspondent, Alexis Goldsmith, for a discussion of the Extended Producer Responsibility, or EPR, bill. Welcome, Alexis. Perhaps you can start us off with an overview of what extended producer responsibility means and why you think this bill is important.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. So extended producer responsibility is a law that holds producers accountable for the waste that they generate on the products that they put into the marketplace. So producer is consumer brands like Coke, Nestle, Pepsi, all those brand Kellogg's that put products into the marketplace. And there are many different types of extended producer responsibility. There are bills for carpets, mattresses, paints. In New York, we have one on batteries. But the one that I'm here to talk about today is an extended producer responsibility law for packaging. And it's meant to make producers pay for the cost to collect and either landfill, recycle, or incinerate the waste from their packaging.
So when you say packaging, what does that include? The bottles themselves, but anything else?
Yeah, so any good that you buy at the store that comes in packaging would fall under this law. So the bulk of our packaging is probably groceries, but also hardware, any consumer good, and it includes e-commerce as well. So when you order something online, the box or the plastic mailer or the plastic bubble wrap that it comes in, that is also considered packaging under this law, or this bill rather.
So this is an average of 6.8 million tons of packaging. So all of this is just the consumer's packaging is 40% of the waste that is produced, is that right?
Yeah, so I think the number is closer to half of the waste stream is from municipal waste. And a lot of that packaging ends up in municipal waste, but there's also a lot of waste that's in the supply chain for products because they have to be extracted, manufactured, and transported and distributed. And that accounts for half of the waste that ends up in landfills or incinerators. So this bill covers packaging waste, but it's not just municipal waste.
Wow, that's a lot. And this is just the plastic packaging? That's a question? Products are being wrapped in like corn plastic or all these alternative sealants that look like plastic. But I wonder, one, are they at all better? And is this number only looking at plastic waste?
Mm-hmm. So this bill, which by the way, the bill numbers are Assembly Bill 10185, sponsored by a New York State Assemblyperson Engelbright. This bill covers all types of packaging, which can be made from many different types of materials like plastic, paper, cardboard, aluminum, and glass are the most common ones. And also mixed packaging, so packaging that has different types of materials in it, for example, a cardboard, but it has plastic film, something like that. So this bill is aimed at reducing all of those, but a big problem with packaging is that most of it today is made from single-use plastics. And in fact, nearly half of all plastic produced in the world today is for single use. So this is contributing to litter, not just litter that winds up in our rivers and in our oceans and our food systems, but it takes up landfill space and it's also burned in incinerators, which contributes to air pollution. And plastic, of course, is made from fossil fuels, which contribute to climate change during the manufacturing process. So yes, plastics are a big deal when it comes to packaging.
I'm going to take advantage of having you here because today I worked a food distribution event where pallets and pallets of food were all wrapped in thin, clear plastic wrap. I gathered that to recycle. But there were also a lot of very darkly colored thin film plastics surrounding the little packs of six bottles and things. Mm-hmm. Can dark thin film also be recycled, or only the clear?
So thin film is actually not recycled at a rate that makes a difference. Less than 4% in the United States. And plastic grocery bags, before they were banned in the state, were a big culprit. But also Amazon, the thin plastic envelopes that Amazon ships packages in that say return to store collection site for recycling, that's a scam. It's really just to distract and make consumers feel like they're doing the right thing by taking their plastic back to the store, but it doesn't ultimately get recycled.
What I understand is they do have the recycling symbol, and even though it is, you know, more to like convince us that it's not so bad, there could be a facility that could recycle that, but generally those don't exist. So therefore, they're able to say that it's recyclable, except really, I know when I was living in New York City, they have a pretty restrictive recycling. Only very few numbers are recyclable. And so it really often depends on what your local facility is able to take, right? Which is generally not those everyday objects.
Yes, absolutely. But the definition of recyclable is starting to change. California last year passed a suite of plastic reduction bills, and one of them was the Truth in Labeling bill, which, getting away from our EPR bill for just a second, this bill requires that you cannot put the chasing arrow symbol on a package unless you can prove that you can achieve 60% recycling of that material. So in the U.S., plastics are recycled at a rate of less than 6%. So most plastic packaging will not be able to bear the chasing arrow symbol in California anymore. But getting back to the EPR bill, A10185 in the New York State Assembly right now, this sets reduction requirements for packaging, which is the first and most important step. So it sets a 50% reduction requirement over the first 10 years. So all of the packaging in grocery stores, at Walmart, at the hardware store, all of that has to be halved within 10 years. And then after 10 years, the remaining packaging has to be 90% either recyclable, and it is actually getting recycled, or made from recycled content. 90% of that remaining packaging. So in the end, a very small amount of packaging is getting disposed of, landfilled or incinerated, if we pass this bill and make it into law.
You went into a few of those points there. It also looks at toxic substances, or actually I'll leave it to you. Could you go over some of the other points in that bill?
Yes, toxic substances, the way this bill handles it, sets this bill as a leader in the United States. This is the strongest extended producer responsibility law for packaging ever introduced in the United States. So Oregon and Maine already have EPR for packaging because it addresses toxics. So plastic in particular, when it's manufactured, has thousands of chemicals added to it, flame retardants to keep it from catching on fire because it's made from petrochemicals, but also dyes and plasticizers. And these are toxic. They are endocrine disruptors. They can affect children's development, and they can cause cancer. So this EPR bill requires the most common toxics to be eliminated from packaging, which is really important because a lot of our food comes in packaging, and that's how you're exposed. But also because getting toxics out of packaging is important for recycling, because when it comes to recycling, a lot of materials that get recycled are turned into something that was never their original intended use. And there's no chain of custody for those toxics. So you don't know what's in your recycled materials. All the more reason to get toxics out of packaging.
And there's certainly an environmental justice issue here, because the communities that are impacted by plastic production are usually in lower income areas. And I'm getting the signal that we are out of time. So thank you,
but
Alexis.
But we do want to hear about, there's an event happening.
Oh, yes. So Beyond Plastics is hosting an event tomorrow night on this bill so that people can learn about it.
Tomorrow, which is Tuesday.
Tuesday, sorry. Yes, Tuesday, May 17th at 7 p.m. It's an online teach-in with Assemblymember Englebright, and it's on Zoom. So go to our website, beyondplastics.org/events. And I do want to mention the environmental justice aspect, because it's not just environmental justice, but it's environmental racism. So where these plastic facilities are built and where they're polluting is in Black, Brown, and Indigenous communities across the United States. And that's by design. So EPR is important for addressing the justice aspect of packaging, which many people are probably not even, how would you know unless you knew?
Great. Thank you so much, Alexis Goldsmith. So we'll have the link to that information session for Tuesday, May 17th in the description to this recording. And that's a place to ask all these questions about like how this bill would work. And because, I mean, I'm leaving this conversation with a lot of questions. So that's the place to go, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.